You're listening to the Bears Barroom Radio Network. This is Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil Atoshin, and it is intended for all audiences.
Trubisky being rushed, throws to the end zone for Deion Sims. He's got it for a touchdown.
Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that Draft Dr. Phil guy. Monday through Friday, the barroom's got you covered. The NHL places tags, cause Fuller's got you smothered. Draft Dr. Phil, it's always hit sticks. Splitting double teams like 96 Akeem Hicks.
Hour Live
keeps growing, Mitchell keeps throwing. Dimes on time, but in the window we's growing. Don't deny it that this show is a collaboration with a fan. Bears Girl moderated, Dr. Phil is the man. Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that Draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that Draft Dr. Phil guy.
Dumped again, Akeem Hicks.
The show where we always bring the truth.
Jackson, touchdown Bears!
Trubisky to the 42-yard line! Oh my goodness! Howard left side, to the 10, to the 5, game over!
Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and that Draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live.
Just the speed, you know, they're faster. You know, you have Turbo, you have A-Rob, that's back. You know, you got Kevin White, he's healthy. Josh Bellamy, he's doing a great job. Rookie, and, you know, Tariq, they moving him around a lot. And it's just going to be something fun to watch. You know, and play calling is totally different. They're giving us a bunch of looks that we haven't seen.
Hello, Bears fans. You just heard Bears safety Eddie Jackson talking about the changes he's seen with the offense so far in camp. We'll talk more about that later on. My name is Bears Girl, and we have an epic show lined up for you tonight talking all things Bears training camp, which opened this past Saturday. You are listening to Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil. We have a special guest with us tonight whose play-by-play coverage, tweets, and videos of the opening weekend blew us all away. Joining us in a little while will be Greg Braggs Jr. We're going to cover his thoughts and how the players are looking at camp so far, discussing the criticisms already starting, talk about the rookie that is still unsigned, and of course, answer our barfly questions they've submitted on Twitter with the hashtag AskBHL. Let's start this show like we do with your opening rant, Phil. Before we do, I hope you had a very happy birthday, Doc. Tell us how you got to celebrate this past weekend.
My birthday was a whole weekend of stories and fun, probably best shared on Bears 100 Proof, which I promise to do. But before I go into my rant, I really wanted to, I wrote myself a note and I set it out on Twitter today, obviously days later, but I wanted to make sure I addressed the kindness and the humor and compassion and the passion of the Bears Barroom family and listeners, barflies, whether you consider yourself one or not. I don't know how dubious you go. Some people are very shy and what have you, but the DMs, the actual tweets and the breaking of chops and laughter that occurred from them also showcases how much, you know, as my wife would put it, how much of an influence you have on people's lives and touching around the world with these shows in regards to what we do at Bears Barroom. It was very humbling for me. And I tend to be a sensitive guy. I'll admit I got teary-eyed watching Coco. But that's just the kind of person I am. And it was very touching to me that all of you, you know, I don't do Facebook much, but to document my family, you know, friends from the past are sometimes lost, really, and forgotten. And it's amazing to me, this instrument of Twitter and Bears Barroom uniting, so to speak, to make what I consider, you know, friends and family worldwide. You know, some of the gifts I even got and received, I can't even, and I won't put names out there, but I can't even, how do you say thank you to somebody you've never met sending you a generous gift? It's just very, very, very humbling, and I really appreciate it. For the first time, I'm at a loss for words in that regard, because it wasn't expected, and it really made me laugh, because I've said it to the youngest of person I've taught, and I've said it to my family, my daughters. If you can't laugh at yourself, you're not doing life right, because it is a world with which, you know, evil lurks around every corner, it seems. I hate to be a comic book, but that's the reality. And I just, to see kindness and thoughtfulness, to me, meant a lot more so than any kind of gift I could have received. So it makes everything I do creatively, spiritually, film, and the time I put into this to give you my truth worth it. So I just want to thank you all, because there were so many. If I did a shout out section, it'd be the whole show.
Save that for tomorrow. We will give you a whole hour just for your birthday shout out.
Then I'll have to hear Trey Busy complain that I stole every but let's get into this football. Bears football. Finally, Bears girl. We are here, girlfriend.
We are. And
we have pads on. We have flaming hot takes. Those are the absolute worst takes. And we have hot takes, which are just a notch below. And then we got sizzling cold overflow. And that's just sheer and utter no knowledge of the game of football whatsoever. I texted Bears Girl earlier today. I said, I want you to know my rant is going to be about Mitchell Trubisky and Adrian Amos. And you know, all know how I feel about Jordan Howard and the narrative. It played exactly to fruition of how, if I was a psychic, you know, you'd all be believing in me right now as your leader in regards to how the narratives are drawn out. But tonight, I'm fired up. I'm very upset. It's almost to the point where it's cool to say something in the middle or over the top that isn't truthful, that you can end up walking away from because nobody cares. But Bears Barroom, it seems, because the way you talk about Adrian Amos totally eclipses the reality of what a safety's job is. I said this on last week's show, Bears Girl, but I'm going to say it again because obviously it needs to be reiterated for some of the mentally football challenged writers, bloggers, and hot takers on Twitter and so forth. An open field tackle in the NFL is second only to staring down a blitzing linebacker and delivering a touchdown strike. It is one of the hardest things to achieve in football when a coach and a defensive coordinator or defensive back coach has a player that is an outstanding tackler. Guess what? They sleep better. They game plan better. They're more aggressive because they know that their last line of defense is in great hands. And in this fantasy football world of bloggers and idiots and morons, really, with no football acumen and making money off of sheep that follow this. This isn't a PFF story for me. As we've said many a times, and I said it to the man's face as well as Aldo and Shane Moneyman Marshall, on how much I believe in this guy and what he does. On tape is overlooked. The open field tackle, as I was saying, is the second most difficult task to do in football. As I said, it keeps the defensive coordinator up at night when you have a Chris Conte back there. Let me remind you of the players, the Paynes and the Cameron Worrells and the Greens and so on and so forth. I can't even remember some of these clowns. It was like the quarterbacks of the Bears historically. So when you get a young football player that battles adversity, overcomes a free agent veteran signing only to go out there and ball out when he's done nothing but ascend in his career, creates critical turnovers in key moments, and we're wondering and writing a story about a corner tipping it, and thus it was an easier interception that he returned 90-something yards for a touchdown. In what world are we doing this? They used to count how many almost interceptions Cutler threw, as if that was a story. This is a rampant disease, if you will, disease of football writing and narratives. And championing themselves in a manner with which it is so utterly frustrating that for the first time in my life, I've seen one of my best friends said, I can't do it anymore. I can't fight this. It's so obnoxiously dumb that I can't fight this Adrian Amos bull. But I'm not going down without a fight because there's more. You want to know what? A stop on third down where Adrian Amos smells out a screen and the Packers running back has huge opportunity in the game to score, get a first down, change the whole field position. We talk about big plays, but guess who comes in an open field tackle? As I put it up, Adrian Amos sets up a third and one. Guess who makes the tackle on third and one? Adrian Amos. Guess who they wrote about in the story? It wasn't Adrian Amos because the Bears didn't win. And when you're not winning, it's easy to overlook positions like center and strong safety because they don't get the glory unless they are getting a turnover. And a turnover on third down is just as good as a turnover interception. Those people can argue all they want and say everything they want, but when I watch the tape, it doesn't lie in regards to Amos's speed. Amos's ability to be a tone setter where other players on opposing teams want to know where he is because they don't want to get hit. This kid is the most explosive hitter in football. He is the most explosive, quote me on it, record this, bloggers, from whatever site you are. He is the most explosive hitter in football. Thus, he is known as an intimidator to opposing offenses. And when you have people thinking they're not moving fast, they're not catching that pass that normally they would. And then you add his ability to run the way he does. And tonight's guest on the show, Greg, keeping the Bears fan worldwide informed with video, gives me the opportunity to assess an Adrian Amos or a Kevin White or a Mitchell Trubisky. And when I look at this opportunity to see them in practice, because no offense, I think I know a few things about this game and how to coach defensive backs. Amos, on just one Twitter line from a newspaper reporter grabbing Greg's video, and making a point about Prince of Mukamura failed to recognize the reason this deep pass by Mitchell Trubisky was knocked down was because of Adrian Amos and his ability to get depth and cover so much ground that he actually batted the football down. Now, again, the narrative is what they're going to want. So the last point I'm going to make about Adrian Amos is my most precious point. It's a question to the podcast listener or the person in the chat room, the barfly. I'm going to ask you a question now, and I want you to think about it. It might not take you very long, but it's the point and final end point to all the hate that a blogger who's never coached, never played a goddamn snap in their life, never strapped on a helmet, never understood what an open field tackle was, never understood how to put their body on the line in a critical situation. Never can they assess the mental processing that tackling and being in the right place because a coach has coached you up and you understand this game means. So my question, I want to know, what hurts on a Sunday, whether you're a fantasy football player like the Goon, or you're a blogger like the Blog? What hurts more? A guy getting a toss play and he runs into the end zone from 70 yards out because your strong safety arm tackled and completely whiffed? Or when you're fourth and one because you've stopped them four times and they got a first down on fourth and one, but now they're third and goal from the two and they get one. So now it's fourth and goal from the one. And all the while, this safety's coming up and filling his gaps, forcing other tacklers to make the play, or he's making the play. What hurts more? The next play, when the running back breaks into the end zone in full contact with everybody, including the strong safety or the free safety, or that 70-yard whiff where your safety misses, or the 30-yard toss play or stretch zone when your safety puts his arm out there? What hurts you more? Because I'll tell you right now, folks, it's going to be easy for these guys to write a narrative and overlooked that safety that on third and three shuts it down at the 50 instead of the guy, the safety on third and three that whiffs. They're going to write a bigger story about the whiff, and they can fail every time to talk about the guy that makes it happen. And lastly, that's my final point and question to you all. Clearly rhetorical one, but one nevertheless in a football sense of the importance is important for you to ask yourself. So I want to address one other elephant in the room, and this is
before you go there, Phil. I want to stick with Adrian Amos because Aldo's been online interacting with someone who apparently was at camp this weekend, Eric Lambert. And the question asked of him was, which five or more safeties do you rank above Adrian Amos? And I'm going to be here all night reading these names, so I'll just run off a couple for you. Earl Thomas, Eric Berry, Landon Collins, Harrison Smith, Eric Weddle, Antoine Bertha, Eric Reed, Marcus Williams, Malcolm Jenkins, Rashad Jones, Justin Simmons. Want to react to that?
You know, it's like a comical farce. And I hate to do this, but I don't know how it becomes ever present in the Chicago media and also these phonies. Again, what I said, didn't suit up, don't know or hear. anyone that's telling you what they heard instead of what they think, anybody telling you they've watched the TV copy and not the tape, the All 22, which is available to every writer, every person listening to this show can be informed or learn about coaching or be a coach or go out. You all have the opportunity. But one thing the NFL does do well is they give you the coach's tape and the game pass if you pay for it. And correct me if I'm wrong, and I know I'm not answering the total question, but I think it is. I think Mr. Lambert hasn't been paying the game pass subscription, because if he had, he'd recognize someone like Reed doesn't even have a job. He'd recognize that some of these players have not ascended, aren't good on tape, and stats alone could prove that, since they're so stat scouty. But to me, I'm never going to lead you wrong. I will not lie to you. I haven't watched every LaMarcus Joyner tape. I have not even will be here to say so. But I'm not putting that in the frame of this comparison. And to me, the play on the field with Amos is beyond good, and thus a rookie. It's so funny, BG, some of the blockers, well, the rookie came in and he played well. Do you recognize that Amos helped this rookie play well, and Amos is the veteran in regards to games played than this player? So it's so funny. If you want to make something true in today's society, play the victim. And the victim will tell you that, you know, somebody else is better than, and there's 20 guys better, when truly on a losing football team, it's easy to lose this debate because they'll always point to the wins and losses. But this list that Mr. Lambert, who was at camp, came up with is atrocious. And it's really obviously something we'll tackle tomorrow, because I know our boy, the mailman, was going to have some views on it, as well as Aldo. But for me, the list is, it reeks of garbage and trash. And again, Chicago can't have nice things. You have Jordan Howard. I can't believe how this guy's treated. It's baffling to me. People I know that coach in the league, to say that he's just a guy is probably someone who's had 12 jobs in the league, and each year he gets fired, because that person doesn't know how to recognize talent, because it's just simple to me. It's same thing with Adrian Amos. You get a team, a history of safeties that are busts, can't play, can't tackle, can't do anything right, but they make an interception once every 5 games, and all of a sudden they're okay. No, that's not how that position works. You get Amos in here and he stands out. He's being lauded. Now he's being a pun and a punchline by the Chicago media because he's the number one ranked player on the Bears in Madden. Are you kidding me that you can't appreciate this football player? That, to me, is the negligence of the Chicago media. And you can't have nice things. It's got to be pointed out to you. And I'm not over-hyping or stepping the family with which I work under, because we do it. We supply it. And we will ask these writers and bloggers on the show to defend this point, because it's a terrible one. Adrian Amos is a top 5 safety in this league. I'll go to my deathbed seeing that on tape. It befuddles me that anybody would say otherwise. But clearly, the next guy, I know we're going long in the rant, but this is a padded practice, BG. We got the pads back on. And I am fired up because the negligence of the media continues. And this time, you go to the quarterback of the offense. Again, referencing our guest that's going to be on tonight, gives me and others around and the Barfly family the opportunity who can't afford to go to camp, who can't travel because they have a family to camp and see what's transpiring. Do you want to learn what's transpiring, guys? Barflies through the eyes of Hub Arkish? Or would you like to know what Shane Marsaw or myself or Aldo or Trey Busy, etc., saw on that? Ask yourself that. And when you go to camp, I want to know what you saw. But Greg, given us the opportunity to assess, I have to say this. The narrative nationally, I first saw it this morning from Pro Football Talk about Mitch struggling. Mitch struggling. And I look at these videos and I'm seeing darts. Now, not just today, I'm talking about in the bad weather. Again, we're counting drops as incompletions. We're bloggers. We're writers. I spoke about this last week, the difference. They're writing a story that he's inaccurate. He's struggling with the deep ball. He's struggling here. Let me say this. That ball to Kevin White, I tweeted it out over Greg's tweet. Thank you, Greg. He's coming. And it showcased the receiver that gets to the top of his route on a 9 route, which is a fade. So when you're running outside the number, you need to stay outside the numbers, and you always stay there. If you watch, the technique is when he bypasses the corner, the defender apparently purposely let him go deep, something we'll get into tomorrow to counter Shane's point about opening night, throw it deep to White. Here's a point where I believe they're giving him a confidence boost. And this is where what concerns me. You never bend your route back inside. You always stay outside the numbers when you press and get wide. Therefore, the ball is being anticipatory. It's an anticipatory pass of where you're going and supposed to be. The flight of the ball is perfectly thrown. Your boy Kevin White bends, looks, and then tries to get back to the spot, which where he was supposed to be. Now, granted, Kevin's been out, yada, yada, yada. But the blame went to Mitch. And it's unfortunate. And that's what continues to transpire. And when I look at these highlight videos that are being given to us by none other than Barflies, for God's sake, I'm seeing an accurate NFL quarterback learning a new system, new terminology, and to be critical in a manner with which is negligent, like this, to run a story is so unfortunate because it's completely untrue. I'm looking at these, unless there's like 40 plays I'm missing, I just see a guy that's a new quarterback and a new system doing and delivering. Now, is it perfect? No. I've said this before. Give me a perfect player, and I'll quit because there are none. I've given you Tom Brady. He's not perfect. He's the best I've ever seen, but he's not perfect. So to expect perfection on every snap is a ridiculous response to overanalyzing a prospect in a town that can't have nice things. You see where I'm going. Why I felt it was so important tonight, because this is going to be the story. The media needs things for you to click on. They need to write something. And just like I promised about Amos, I will take on anybody if they're bullshitting about Mitch Trubisky, because I feel as though a young quarterback is in a critical situation with a new coach to have his mental toughness tested by a media going on a narrative when things get bad. And they will get bad. There will be challenges in games. We know this. They ain't going to be, Bears have all these weapons. Look at them. The positivity I see on Twitter is just as bad as the negativity, to be perfectly honest. A guy, Mitch throwing a screen on 7-on-7, and the guy goes for a touchdown, all of a sudden That would have been a touchdown. Yeah, 700 likes. This is 7-on-7, folks. Calm the heck down. I hate to be the guy, but I'm gonna, because it matters zero. Drops, interceptions, all of it, as Nagy, well-versed. I didn't get to hear the open, so I don't know if Aldo had Nagy in there talking about it. But
we did not have Nagy in there. We actually had Eddie Jackson talking about what he sees is different with the offense in camp so far.
So there you go. So Eddie, I hope he didn't point out the fact that, you know, interceptions are going to happen in practice, and they're important for the team. And it's never going to be perfect, but you want to see people grow and learn from it. And Mitchell, I know you've taken a vow of silence on the media. I don't like it. I just think, just do it. Be you. I think that goes against what your coach is preaching. That's my opinion. But just, if you're listening, you need to just focus and be you. Because really, what I'm seeing is tremendous for the second day in pads, to see some of the throws he was making and his just his ability to throw over the top in the pocket. And yeah, nothing's going to be perfect. So let's not fall victim to the narrative on Mitch. That's my final thought.
All right. So I want to let you know the chat room is fired up. We have over 40 listeners currently. We have our usual regular Barflies back for another edition and a lot of new listeners tonight. So welcome to all of you. We've got a lot of people joining the chat room for the first time tonight.
The chat room is fired up. We have over 40 listeners.
You got to mute your.
I'm done.
There you go.
Sorry. I did it.
Listen, I don't know how many takes it took you to do the promo.
I'm only done with the video.
It's going to take you.
The video going the other way. I cannot do anything else.
So we got BG in stereo. That's always fun. So before we start talking about Greg's experience at training camp, and for those listening in, Greg is on the line and he will be joining us the rest of the show. I want to talk to you guys about Aaron Lynch. So he missed practice with a hamstring injury, and now there are thoughts out there in Twitter land that we should be looking at Shaq Lawson from Buffalo. Thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, I'll just start it off. Greg, I so appreciate what you're doing coming on the show tonight.
Obviously, we're gonna get into that.
But let's tackle this because you're there, and this is an issue in my mind. I know I got a text from the smartest man today, and he talked about it himself. So I'm kind of step for step here. I try to always give credit where ideas and thoughts go, because people, fans are informed and some are misinformed. But the Aaron Lynch situation is concerning, because here you have a depth chart with injury concerns at that position in Leonard Floyd. You got rid of McPhee because of injuries. You got Lamar Houston out there. You let him go. You got Sam Acho and some other guys that really you're paper thin here at this position. With this guy's history of being injured, this has to be concerning. I think the Bears have to be. I'm 100%. I was a big Shaq Lawson guy coming out of Clemson. I think they have to be on the phone in regards to this player because of the depth and what they have talent-wise at the position.
You know, for me personally, it's like a feeling out process for me the first week. I'm just trying to get an idea of everybody that's on the field. And when you go to this, you know, at least for me, I'm just kind of dropping myself in the bucket. I'm not kind of too keen on exactly every single roster spot until we get to the end of camp. It's kind of like a formation move for me. So, you know, honestly, it's like hard to say how much to put the panic meter up on it, Aaron Lynch. Obviously, people were excited about the pickup. I'm a Notre Dame fan myself. You know, he played for a little bit there before he transferred, and you know, I felt like he's a good player, and, you know, he played with Vic Fangio, so I felt like it's a good fit. You know, they're there a week early. You know, you can use that excuse for Roquan and other things that'd be concerned about, but they are. So, I mean, you got to be patient with it. You know, teams are going to have, you know, holes. I mean, for me personally, I can't speak on exactly like how to solve the problem. It's just, to me, it's like you're going to have some holes. I mean, especially in year two of what I think this is like, this building process from when they started with Mitch. And, you know, it is what it is. You're going to have to create pressure up the middle with, you know, the defensive line. And, you know, it seems like that is a problem. Everybody, you know, anybody I talk to, you know, and I'm going to defer to you guys when it comes to a lot of the knowledge. I mean, I know things on the surface, but certainly not to the extent you guys know it. I mean, you guys blow my mind. Honestly, I'm listening to this and it's humbling, you know, because I'm a big Bears fan. People think I'm like the biggest sports fan in the world, but you know, I don't, you know, I get into it deep, but this is, you know, it's hard to keep up with. It is. You're watching everything and everybody loves to watch the offense at training camp, you know, to be saying I'm watching the edge rush right now. I mean, Leonard Floyd is creating pressure every day. You can see that. I mean, anybody with eyes can see Leonard Floyd getting in the backfield, you know, so it's just hard to say at this point what the, you know, the edge rusher that we're going to find to fill this hole on the team that everybody wants to have filled at this point. You know, I mean, it'll just be interesting to see how it goes forward, you know.
Well I don't want to be 0-6 if we don't have a rush, according to NBC.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the problem, but I don't think they're going 0-6, but they, I mean, it is key. The start of the season is key to having a good year. So, and they have a tough first game, and you want that pass rush right out the gate if you want to beat the Packers. So, I mean, I you know, I get it, you know, but, you know, for me personally, it's like I'm going to watch this stuff and then at camp and try to gather everything I can. But honestly, I've grown up watching so much games on TV. I honestly got to see him on TV one time before I can even like be like, all right, this, you know what I mean? It's just more organized that way in my mind. I mean, when you're out there, everybody's just running around. Some guys have the same numbers and you're just trying to keep up, guys.
Right. I mean,
every time a play happens, you're like, you're looking at the depth chart twice. You're like trying to make sure, because I mean, so many new faces in and out, guys change numbers some years. It's like, you know, it's just a lot, you know. I'm so like crazed watching these DBs and wide receivers go to work that it's like, you know, it's like one day at a time you watch one group, you know, if you go, you know, like I do, you know, it's like you can only take in so much in one day. There's a lot going on.
You're making
for those of us. Sorry, for those just tuning in, you're listening, obviously, to Draft Dr. Phil, and his guest tonight, we haven't actually introduced you yet, is Greg Braggs Jr., the man with the amazing video work who made us all feel like we were at camp with him this past weekend. And Greg, the smartest man in the bar room, is in the chat room tonight, and he agrees with you. He says you can't gauge pass rushers in practice. You got to get to live action in games to see.
Well, I was going to make the point, and it's funny Shane made that, because Greg is making a great point about the confusion in regards to how much is going on positionally. So if you don't know what you're looking at, and as I drummed up, I don't know if you were able to hear the opening rant, Greg, but I talked about these bloggers and everyone having a narrative. Thus, if they do and they don't know how to properly analyze positions or technique or assignment or responsibility, then there's going to be issues in regards to the way they assess a player's talent. And that's natural. You're on the show talking the truth, and that's exactly what we preach here. I want to say Shane Marsall, the smartest man again, made it a point. Why don't we got to get Greg on the show, because he's putting up the tape here that's giving. And I got to say this for the Barfly. I don't want to go away from Aaron Lynch just yet. I want to get back to that in a second. But I want to say this as a coach, when I would coach, I always wanted to hire a guy that understood what I wanted to see on tape. And why do I say that? Because Greg's on the show tonight. Because he's giving me the angle to assess what I want to see from the play. And it's really something critical in analyzing talent as well as what is transpiring or what is being asked of the players on the offensive line, on the defensive line, where coverages go. The ability to get that angle, zoom in appropriately at the time when, is a special trait. And when you popped up on my timeline, I was so grateful because I was able to gather opinions and put it towards what was going on Twitter with some of these writers. And it was the utter opposite of what I was seeing. It's so funny because of the friends that I do have that a coach or in the league, and they see this stuff and live with it all the time. I asked one coach, I go, how do you do it? It's so wrong. You don't want to just grab the mic and be like, hey, Frank, learn the game. You know, I know Vic Fangio said, do your research. But it really is true to that point of frustration because it's totally the opposite of it. You're doing a tremendous job, sir. I'm happy you're on Bears Hour Live with me and Bears Girl, as well as all the Barflies. I just want to get your opinion. Do you think, and I want the Barflies' opinion in the chat, do you think we need to trade for Shaq Lawson based on what you've seen out there and the concerns with Aaron Lynch?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for adding more pieces, that's for sure. I mean, you know, it's, you know, they're definitely, you know, on the, feel like on the cusp of something special. And if anything that's going to hold them back, and you can prevent that before the season starts, or throw as many things at the wall as you can, I mean, that just seems to stand to reason. I mean, there's going to be guys that come off of other teams, you know, depth charts that'll be a surprise cut at camp, and potentially that could be something that could fall into our lap, or, you know, like the names you guys are mentioning, you know, that's absolutely something they need to do.
So we got a ton of questions that came through the chat room and Ask BHL for both of you, specifically you, Greg, given that you were at camp and everyone is in love with your footage. The first question is, what are you using to film?
That's been the question I've been receiving at least like 5 or 6 times the last 2 days. And I was telling my buddy, I was like, do I give up the secret sauce? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, if you're talking to Phil about secret sauce, you're not getting the rest of it.
You know, and I told my buddy, I was like, oh, you know, honestly, I feel like, because you just talked about the angles and what you want to see, I feel like, truly, I do. I mean, not to try to toot my own horn, but I truly feel like that's the secret sauce. I'll tell you, the camera I use is a Note 8 or Note 10, whatever, the newest Note. I get a Note every time my notes fall apart, and I get a new one, and it's the brand new one. I never have had an iPhone, and because of that, I've always had Samsung Notes, and they always have had the best cameras.
I knew Greg was my favorite.
Greg is a Barfly and now Bears Girl favorite with the Samsung shout
that
out.
That took about 5 minutes. So, but yeah, so I mean, you know, and this is just for me personally with the videoing, it's just been an evolution. I have always liked to capture the moment. I've always liked to be in the moment of all sports things. I, you know, enjoy the Cubs, Bears, the Bulls, and you know, all sorts of college and even high school in my area. Grow up in Northwest Indiana, they call it the region. And you know, it's just been an evolving thing as phones got better. I enjoyed taking more videos, and then I started kind of enjoying like how to like capture the moment wherever I was at. And then Snapchat comes along, and you're starting to learn like up, you know, vertical ways of looking at things. And it's just something I've always enjoyed, and like at a game and being able to go back and look at that for myself. And for years, I would put this stuff on Instagram. I mean, if you go on my Instagram page, I have footage of training camp for the last like 5 years at least. And, you know, no, you know, I've had some Bears fans find me through there, and, you know, they've been around for a while, and they've seen training camp for years now. I mean, I've put a lot. Last year I had every throw from Mitch's first day. And you talk about narrative. It always frustrated me last year watching training camp. So that's why I enjoy putting it out there, because yeah. I like to be able to show people that, you know, when you have a differentiating opinion with Tom Waddle about who should start week one, you mm-hmm. you can prove your point by exactly. just showing the video. You don't have to.
Tape
I don't have
never
to,
lies.
Exactly. I don't necessarily know the X's and O's, but when I've been going to camp for 12 years or however long it's been, you just know it when you see it. It's when you watch sports for your whole life, you just know something special when you see it. I mean,
right.
when Devin Hester walked on the field, you knew it. I mean, Tariq Cohen last year, the first play, you're like, yep. I mean, it's just,
so
they
stay
just
there.
Have that it.
Stay there, Greg. You're going into one of my questions I had for you. So I want to just, sorry, BG, if you had another question.
I did,
who's
but go ahead,
that?
Bill. It's your show.
Who's that it player for you this year? You pointed out Tariq Cohen last year. You obviously pointed out Devin Hester. You're given the history of your time at camp. Again, I'll just say this about your ascension. This guy's one of my followers tweeted your video. And I'm like, who's this? And I see he's following me. So usually I'm a little pessimistic. I'm like, if someone's not following me, I don't give a crap what they're going to film. This guy's following me. I retweet it. Now I'm recognizing, wait, there's more to this guy than meets the eye, because he has the angle that is absolutely what I look for. And you're not going live, which is critical in this. You're filming each play as if it was the coach's clicker, so I can keep going back and seeing the play. And really, I wanted to say that as we get into your assessment of the guy so far in camp that has said, wow, this is the guy.
I'm going to piggyback on your question, because there's a follow-up question after you answer that from Zeke at @bears_54, and he wanted to know who stood out to you so far that no one is talking about. So go ahead and answer Phil's question, and it might be the same player.
Well, the first question is an easy one. It's Anthony Miller. That's the one that everybody knows, but it is the truth. I mean, the mm-hmm. first day we went out there on Saturday, it was – I mean, it was the Anthony Miller show, and it was frustrating, because I was just first day. I had some friends with me, so I'm just trying to get into my groove. And every year I have kind of like my process. I get there and get to my top, try to get to the top row of the bleacher, you know, and get a good spot. And, you know, they create the first,
I love
field,
this guy.
They created this canopy thing that like blocks your view. It's so I'm like, trying to find the perfect spot for the first day. So I wasn't on my game. And Anthony Miller, I had a few of his catches, but the play of the day I missed. And I normally never miss it. And like last year I had all like Tanner's best plays and stuff. So when Anthony Miller made this play, I mean, I saw it and it was unbelievable. I jumped out of my seat. He made a diving catch down the sideline, and it was just like right away. And that wasn't even honestly the first play. The first play was some like little like one-on-one curl where he just had this footwork, and you were like, whew, like he just turned to everybody in the stands. You were like that. Yep. Yep. I mean, it was right away. Then it's play after another. I mean, he was making a lot of plays, and it's raining, you know. It wasn't raining exactly as hard as it did on Sunday. It was actually kind of, you know, a lot better than we thought it would be, you know, looking at the radar. But raining nonetheless, and everybody was kind of making catches Saturday. So Sunday was torrential, but Saturday, yeah, Anthony Miller show. I mean, the player that nobody's talking about, I told somebody in the stands, I guess, as far as like wide receivers concerned, I mean, Javon Wims is probably like, you know, because he's probably the biggest wide receiver to my eyes on the field. Mm-hmm. You know, so they've tried to put him in. They're throwing everybody in different ones, twos, and threes. You're seeing guys go with Mitch, and, you know, he's out there. They're throwing it to him, and it's like that's probably the guy as far as an offensively that no one's talking about. Defensively, you know, everybody's talking about Tolliver the first day. the mm-hmm. interception he got, I missed because sometimes I'm, you know, doing something, you know, when it gets to the second or third string, trying to like, you know, tweet or something like that. And that was frustrating because my buddy's like all over the Tolliver telling me all over this stuff. And then he gets an interception. You're seeing like 12 of his family members running around with Tolliver shirts on. So there, everybody's real excited. And so you're like, okay, you know, that's probably the one on defense. As far as the one nobody's talking about on defense, you know, it's hard to say. They seem to have a set group. I mean, is anybody standing out in second and third team? I don't know. It's early, you know. Mm-hmm. It's so early, you know, to be able to like make any kind of definitive. It's hard to say it defensively who's standing out that no one's talking about.
I don't want to cut Bears girl off, but I gotta do it. Let me ask you this.
It's like we script this.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, Bears Barroom, I don't know how much history. I know you're getting caught up on what we do here and what we pride ourselves on, but Aldo, the super producer, the Godfather, the whole nine, history of all his nicknames, has had, you know, tweets go out, hashtags, Firefox, that happened, Trubisky now. I know it happened a millisecond late, but it ended up happening. So I just want to, this whole change to Nagy. Now, you've been to all these camps. If you were with Hester, you saw Lovey's, you saw Tressman's. Mm-hmm. What is the energy there like? Seriously, when you look at, in comparison, you're a football guy. You studied it. You've been around high school sport. You know what I'm talking about. Energetically as well as organizationally, as far as how practices, I know there's some controversy about stretching. What do you see and how does it feel? Just like you got me in the gut, in the sauce, if you will, when you talked about you just know. And you look around like, oh boy, in Anthony Miller. What's the oh boy feeling in regards to the coaching and what's going on at in Chicago?
But no gut feelings. We don't do gut feelings here at Bears Barroom.
That's all I go off of is gut. But full disclosure, I am an eternal optimist. You can't get me to say a bad thing. Nor if I'm saying something bad about you, it takes a lot. Like, I am just a very positive fan. I always have been that way. It's like, it's just how I always have been. It's like it's kind of like my problem. It's like a loyalty thing, but you know, so it's like, it's just hard to say, you know, like for me personally, you know, I just try to, you know, just go out there and just see the feeling, like you were saying. And every time there's a new coach, there's always that energetic feeling. I guess I wasn't big on John Fox.
I want you to think about it. Think about this. Tressman came in new. You were there.
Yep. It was Lovey. The exact same for Tressman the first year. This is a very similar feeling because you saw the ball flying around the yard when Tressman got there, and you had really never seen that at camp, mm-hmm. you know, except Rex Grossman he'd throw like three passes and people would freak out. So, you know, so when Tressman got there, it was crazy. Alshon and Brandon Marshall deep almost every other play. And then they're making crazy catches. Alshon Jeffery, I mean,
it's like NFL Street.
Yeah, go to my Instagram page. It's frustrating because I don't have a video anymore, but I used to have great video of those guys. Alshon and them, they always used to like it on Instagram. I had a great video of Alshon doing a hands drill with tennis balls with another guy. And that was that camp, the first one for Tressman. You could argue it's similar to that one because people were just positive. That's just how it is when you get a new coach. Now with John Fox, I wasn't positive. I thought he was past his time, and I didn't like his decision making with Denver, you know. And when he was with the Panthers, me and my buddy would always butt heads because he's a big Panther fan. I didn't want him, so I wasn't all excited. Other people might have, just because we needed, you know, sanity in the room, but I wasn't excited. I was like, can we move on from everything that I'm seeing in front of me? Everybody, half the team didn't like each other. Then the young kids are looking around like, who do we look at? You know, it's like, You know, so
yeah, you Trestman, could feel that though. You felt
yeah,
that.
For sure. I mean, the second year Trestman rolls around and then everybody's fighting. You know, I was like, what mm-hmm. is going on? You know, it was crazy. And to me, you know, some people feel strongly about Jay, but you know, to me, it was starting with him. You know, people, you know, he needed to grab that team. He'd been here for so long. Everybody else, Urlacher and Tillman, all these guys are gone, and he needed to pull it all together. You know, it just fell apart. You know, and so I just don't think this is the same thing, because the Trestman era came in, and it was veterans that were about to walk out the door, and some young kids trying to mix with these guys. This is the same excitable feeling, but it is, to me, a more of a perfect storm of what you're looking for building a foundation. And they get to piggyback off of last year where they started that. You know, some people are calling this year one of everything, but to me, it started with Mitch, because last year's camp was exciting when Mitch would go out there at third string for the first 3 weeks and throw bombs. It was a joke. They've got Glennon and Sanchez taking all the snaps, and Mitch is the only one looking good out there. Mike Glennon throwing lollipops and stuff. It was embarrassing. I was like, come on, just put the kid in. You know, I was screaming it. You know, I didn't care who I was telling everybody. So it was like,
so you were hashtag Trubisky now.
Oh man, I was crazed on it.
I can't believe we haven't found this guy before.
Me and Tom Waddle went at it week to week for like 2 months. he was getting so frustrated, but it was the truth in my eyes. He knows more football than me, obviously. So he's talking, how is he in the huddle? And can he read a playbook? I was like, I don't care if he can read a book. It's like, he can't read a book. He's better than Mike Glennon. I'm telling you, do you guys want to just start?
It was easy.
So whatever. So now we're here and they've got a whole year of the kids, those guys, Eddie Jackson, Tariq Cohen, you know, Mitch Trubisky, Shaheen, if you want to throw him in there, they started it. And now we're here. And they got to double down on that foundation and then add all this free agency. To me, it's more of a perfect storm of guys that are hungry. We don't got guys about to walk out the door, you know. They're all in, and they're all fighting for positions, and they all are getting along. And it's that youth and energy and talent, and you can just see it. I mean, if you want to really compare it to anything, it's the Lovie Smith early, you know, when they – that first year when they got to the – surprised everybody got to the playoffs. And then that next year, you went to camp. You were like, ooh, this is a good team. And mm-hmm. Devin Hester's out there sparking and getting everybody excited. I mean, I had never seen anybody get excited at camp for kickoff drills. And they were. It was – I'm not kidding you. It was like, what? But you could just see it. And so – and now you got this with Anthony Miller and Tariq Cohen and – you know, it's just a lot of guys that have a lot of swagger, and you add that with all this, you know, free agents. Everybody's going to get excited about free agents, and then half the time they don't work out. But right now, Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, and Taylor Gabriel looks a lot nicer than we were, like, trying to figure out who's going to fill the depth chart last year, you know.
Top of the hour, right. And we still have plenty of content, so stick with us. Quick question for you, Greg. Given you've been going to camp now for several years and you are posting videos that our media members have been told to either take down or not post. We got Patrick Finley doing his infamous detailed cartoon drawing. Are you getting any static? Are you getting any response from the Bears? Have they attempted to get you to start, you know, stop posting anything?
Well, honestly, I'm surprised I haven't. And it makes me nervous. Like, because last year, I've always put them on Instagram, but no one can really see that there, the way you share things. My family and friends, and if you look at a hashtag, you'll see it. But here now, I've started to put things on Twitter in the last few years because that's my predominant medium I use now. And it spreads. Last year, I was putting up Tariq Cohen videos like crazy. I love Tariq Cohen. I was pushing all his nicknames and putting up all his videos. And Tanner Gentry was look great out there. People will laugh at that, but he truly made some amazing plays at camp. It was fun to watch, you know.
That's a question from Mark Dubai, actually. So he says, I've not seen much written about Tanner Gentry this week. I know it's very early days, but has he any chance of making the roster? So when you get a chance to answer that, let us know.
Well, yeah, I can throw it in there now. It's, you know, I root for him because he's a good player. And, you know, I wish he'd have had more opportunity last year. But now they've got so many players out there. I mean, if he's out there, that means other guys are injured or things didn't work out. You know, they've got guys ahead of the line. I mean, I talk to the players after, you know, I like harassing people. I like being in the middle of action. So when they're done with practice, I go up to them and talk to them. I don't care. They know. I'll introduce myself and tell them, like, hey, you know, because they retweet my videos. So I'll say, hey, I'm Greg. And, you know, most of the time they're like, oh, hey, you know. So today I talked to Tanner. And I was like, hey, you know, your time will come, man. Keep working hard. And he was like, I appreciate that, you know. And, you know, so it's, you know, do I know if he's going to make the roster? I don't know. You know, hopefully they at least keep him on the practice squad. They've spent so much time working with him. But, you know, if he can, great. You know, but I don't really know how many wide receivers they're necessarily going to keep at this point early in camp. You know, three weeks from now, we're all going to know the last few roster spots, and that's when I dial in on that stuff, you know. But right now, to say who's going to make the roster, it's way too early to tell that kind of thing.
Well, Busy is in the house, and he says if Gentry makes the roster, we are in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, see,
I don't necessarily agree, and this is what I want to say. Here's the head coach, the definition of the underdog, the undrafted guy that battled through. And Greg makes a great point. Greg wasn't the only one to tell me how good Tanner looked at camp and what kind of high point catches he was making and what he was doing to defensive backs that are starting on the roster last season. So to say that he can't, to me, I just think this is the NFL. Anything can happen. I get that. Trey's making a joke, so to speak, about we're in trouble. No, I think we'll be blessed because a guy like that, who's homegrown, that you and your scouts believed in to sign here, made the roster and had what Greg is making a point. When Dowell Loggins put this football player in, they weren't making plays to get him open or using him to his best benefit of high point and back shoulder. We all have the criticism of Dowell and how he used Jordan Howard, Mitchell Trubisky, and others. Let's include Tanner Gentry in that. So games are going to tell us who is going to make this roster, because I think when you listen to Coach Nagy and Coach speak, he wants competition, and he doesn't give two craps about 11, about 15, or whoever's wearing what number. All he wants is to win. And that, to me, is the difference from what I've seen other coaching staffs in this charter franchise do. It's all been politics. Yes, they found a few gems here and there and drafted a few as well. But ultimately, the undrafted guy or the guy that could make a difference, look at Jordan Howard. Look at Cameron Meredith sitting on the bench for weeks when you knew, just like, and Mitch Trubisky, for God's sake, we all knew at Bears Barroom they should have been starting. Things could be different had they been. So let's recognize that games, glorified scrimmages, are going to tell the tale. I know a guy like Anthony Miller standing out in practice, but let's talk. I got what I needed from Greg in that, the oh, wow. He described my reaction to that situation when you see it live, like, oh, there's just no doubt. Barring injury, this kid's going to be phenomenal. There's no doubt. And with Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and the fits, but a guy like Bellamy and Gentry and these players – can push their way into being productive football players. Look at the New England Patriots, for God's sake. They schemed these guys open. They used quickness and hands to their best ability, and thus you get a guy like Wes Welker and the kid Hogan and yada, 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 so on and so forth. This happens in this league. Let's hope it happens here. I think it'll be a good thing and only help this, because I think a guy like Tanner Gentry is better than he's being billed. He's forgotten. And those guys, like the coach, I believe, have worth. And I'm excited to see what they do in these games.
Well, Barflies, tune in tomorrow when we have Steak and Whiskey versus the Sauce, according to AirJer54, because the chat room is fired up on your perspective on Gentry.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I root for the guy. I mean, he's at third string now. He was key guy all the way up to first string at some point.
Right.
To say that, I agree, if he's on the field, something's going on, you know. So he's got to wait his turn now. It could be years. I mean, people compare the Adam Thielen story. He could only dream of something like that happening. But to say he's a bum, I mean, come on, these guys are kids. And I always love in any sport when people are like, oh, this guy is this, and he can never do this. Tariq Cohen will never be able to take as much contact in a 16-game season because he's so little. Tariq Cohen was, like, laughing at the end of this season. You know, so exactly. It doesn't – you can write a narrative on a guy that just entered the league, but you just don't know how hard a person works in their own time. And, you know, I root for the guy. But, yeah, now they've added so many weapons. Ryan Pace killed it. You know, it's like – You just got to throw as much at the wall as you can, and it's going to work out if you have all the cards in your hand like that. So, you know, I mean, I'm not going to overblow. I mean, that was just a storyline from last year. Now he's third string, and he's going to have to wait his turn. Now it's all about Anthony Miller and Taylor Gabriel doing all these crazy routes and great hands, great footwork, and, you know, I mean, that's a thing of last year, but all that stuff could have been built on. I mean, you want to talk about what they could have done. I mean, I tell you the last thing I mentioned with him to before we get off him, but the Tanner Gentry thing is, I go, man, it was so frustrating not watching the kids play, because that was his opportunity to like make right, exactly. a name for himself in the regular season. And he was like, I know. I was like, I'll always want to know why that didn't happen, because it irritated. I wanted to know who made that decision. And I was like, and I told him the story that the week two of the Steelers game, I have tickets in the tunnel my wife's boss gives to me every year. And I went out, and when Dal walked off the field for warm-ups, I was like, Dal. And he thought I was just going to say hi. I was like, you need to be playing the kid. And I was talking about Mitch. And he's like, what's that? And he stepped at me. And I was like, you need to be playing the kid. I don't know what you're doing. You're going to lose your job at the end of the year when you guys start 0-4, and then you guys run the kid out there, and then don't even make any noise this year. And then you're going to watch somebody else enjoy what you're putting together trying to work with this kid. He's like, this is what he literally said to me. He goes, you think I don't want to play the kid? And I was like, whoa. I was like, well, if that's the case, then you need to convince the coach to play the kid so you guys don't all lose your job. I was like, you're literally sacrificing yourself.
So you were the guy quoted in the paper, because I remember reading this story or hearing about this story somehow before.
It was on the Waddle. I told it on the Waddle and Silver show after I did it. Because the game, I saw the owner, George McCaskey, and I had the same conversation with him, because I was trying to tell anybody that would listen. It was crazy to me. It was so frustrating. I could have cared less about the play. Don't tell me about playbooks. Put the kid out there. You know, everybody else plays their kids, and I wanted to see him. And Mitch is saying, I want to play. When you watch him out there, he was the only one that was a professional. And his favorite – you want to talk about, you know, his favorite guys were Tariq and Tanner. And that put all of them out there, and let's see what they can do instead of the overplayed Mike Glennon. And, you know, I don't want to bring it up, but, you know, because Kevin White's playing well. But Kevin White, you know, he gets a roster spot over Tanner, and Tanner outplayed him every day at camp. He got the roster spot, and then he was hurt 2 days later. And then Tanner's like, whatever. They bring him back because nobody picked him up. Everybody's like worried they're going to lose him. And so now, you know, whatever. It's just like and it was funny. So Tanner today, he goes, yeah, Dow was so mad. So I was like, well, who was it, the ownership or coach? And he wouldn't tell me. So I was like, it was so funny now looking back, because it ended up working out as far as I'm concerned, the way the team has come together. Mm-hmm. And that was what my friend kept trying to remind me of last year, but I didn't care because all I ever want to see is the Bears win and or at least excite me on Sundays. So I was like, put the kid out there. I don't care. And, you know, so now we're at this point. It's like, thank God we just get to enjoy first string talent that they're playing. There's no more excuses. And it's just exciting. Every day is like this competition that you haven't seen since like 2005, 2006, where it was like young but high pedigree. I mean, I'll tell you, the wide receivers and the DBs, man, it is so much fun watching these two units go at it, and they're barking at each other. It's awesome. I will be shocked if they're not, you know, exciting everybody every Sunday. I truly will be.
So there are a couple more Ask BHL questions on different players that I want you guys to react to. Chris Armstrong at Chris Armstrong 1 had a couple of questions for us. And the first says, does Kevin White look like the player he was drafted to be? Does he still have the 4.3 speed?
Yeah, I mean, well, every camp when he's healthy, he's out there. They're throwing to him. So this year, they're throwing to him again. You know, is he getting the most targets? I guess they have thrown to him quite a bit. He's making a ton of plays. He's had a few drives. One time he made a catch and the guy knocked it out after the catch. But, I mean, I guess the whole thing with Kevin is staying healthy. You know, I can't predict whether or not he's going to stay healthy. You root for the guy because anybody that goes through that, it's got to be frustrating as a professional to spend your whole life, get to this point in your career, and then you can't even stay on the field. I mean, people talk about the money they make, but, you know, I think he'd like to show what he can do. You know, it'd be nice to have that for us. So, I mean, he is all over the place making all sorts of plays, but that's no different from the years past. He has a high pedigree of talent. I mean, he's a first-round pick. You know, he's a big guy, you know, so they throw it to him, and he makes all sorts of catches. They don't tackle at camp anymore. I mean, 20 years ago, I didn't go to camp, but from what I hear, they used to, like, kill each other. They don't do that anymore. It's everybody standing up. Even on the days where they hit with pads, it's not like the games at all. I mean, they're hitting, but it's literally 75% with the linemen. No one's really going to the ground. If they do, there's scuffles. I mean, because people take offense to that because they're trying to maintain for the regular seasons now. I mean, they're not trying to kill each other out here. So Kevin White can get open and, you know, guys, you know, they're able to get the ball downfield. Like, so when you watch a play on my videos, a lot of time there'll be a sack that you would be like, oh, that normally would be a sack, but they get to resume the play downfield. And then Kevin White, you know, so Kevin White, the play of the day, it was the play of the day. It was a great play. But you could argue that on that particular drill they were running that, you know, he wouldn't have had that much time to throw it in the first play. That's why he got open. So it's like, you know, is he going to show out in the regular season? And yeah, if he stays healthy, he should be able to contribute to being the number four behind Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, and Anthony Miller. I mean, get in line. Everyone's going to be getting touchdowns. It's going to be hard to get him as the number four, number five receiver on this roster when Trey Burton and Tariq Cohen are also getting passes.
I got to say to Chris, it's always going to come back, especially with this coach, to scrimmages and what players do when the lights are on. And unfortunately, in football, you know, yeah, they're going to go out to Denver and have unified practices and get some individual time with other competition that are going to go live and what have you, like they did with the Patriots. But other than that, your best form of recognizing who gives you the best opportunity to win on Sundays are in the game. So to me, to Greg's point, they're not force feeding like you've seen in the past to try to make somebody something. And I really believe that Kevin White needs to have three quarters in the Hall of Fame game. He rotate him in and out. Obviously, he's not every set, but he needs these live reps to get his confidence and him to play loose. Because like I said last week, I think he plays stiff. I think he's thinking too much instead of just playing the game. And that's going to really be what gets him on the 53 in my mind, because the hype is there. But again, we're going to tap the brakes, because when an Adrian Amos coming full steam on a post route that you need to catch at 12 and Amos is going to hit you at 13 hard, you better pull it in when it hits your hands. Because if you consistently don't do it in games, you're playing politics by keeping these types of guys and losing or letting go of other players that would move the chains and make the sacrifice. So Kevin White to me is still a mystery. I want to see it in games. I'm pulling for him. He's going to be the guy I'm watching most in regards to it.
So smart man in the chat room, Shane Marsaw, is reminding us that this is the first time since 2015 that he's not coming off of a lower leg injury, and that itself will make the difference, and it's all up to Kevin. The Barkeep is in the chat room as well and says, don't be surprised if Kevin White leads the Bears in reception yards.
He's going for it. He's going. It's going to be a whiteout.
I think that award will go to probably Taylor Gabriel.
Oh, we're going to place bets tonight, I see. So I'm going to go Trey Burton. I think Trey Burton's going to lead the Bears in reception yards.
You know, of all the so far early in camp, you know, that's probably the only guy I haven't seen that connection with Mitch yet. They're still trying to get on board. You know, it seems like the wide receivers and the quarterback are on the same page early on. But I think that's still something that needs to develop. But he has the talent. It's just probably a timing thing, you know.
Yeah.
So chat room is making its own bets. And Bilbo Baggins is in the house tonight. And he says, Bilbo, if White leads the Bears in receiving yards, I will get a tattoo of Ryan Pace on the small of my back.
Oh, it's a tramp stamp.
We got bets. We got tattoos. We this got show is going off
this
the
is
rails.
Totally Bears barroom style. Tattoos, bets. Mike right. North is coming in next to give the odds.
Thankfully, not tonight. We do have another question from Chris Armstrong. She wanted to know about Timu. She said he had a nice pass breakup today and looked fast. How does he look in person? Still a bit slow, but better instincts? Or is he actually faster?
I mean, like I said, you know, I'm never going to pretend like I know more than I do. I mean, he made an interception today, and it was like, okay, cool, you know, nice. You know, it's like, am I locking in on John Timo every play? No. You know, it's like, he's just another, you know, it's just, So I guess that means he's not standing out to me. I mean, it's not like, you know, John, you know what I mean? It's not.
Again, this goes back, Greg, to games. Performance in games are going to be critical to these players and their ability to assess it. That's what's going to happen in these positions. But one thing that, you know, fights, you talked about not taking people down. I saw poor Josh Bellamy got pissed because someone bumped him too hard. He was all fired up about it. That's how these football practices have gotten. That kind of energy is coming into the play. But I'm just going to tell you all, you got to assess each and every individual snap, rep, with caution. It's always going to come down to the players playing in the games and how they assess them and how they perform. And depth charts are made in pencil for a reason right now. So the only thing that's a lock is Jordan Howard and Mitch Trubisky. Those are your offensive locks as far as the weaponry. How they use the other ones to me and where they're going to be and how they're going to be listed as starting. Anthony Miller could be your number one at some point. That's how talented this kid is. So let's tap the brakes on all the positivity and all the negativity. Just be in the middle and applaud things without putting future, you know, performances out there yet. They haven't done it. For me, I look at Jordan Howard, Greg, and I see a slimmer guy. Even in his face, I see a quicker guy, you know, already talented, instinctive back being quicker. I'm going to be interested. I don't know how much he weighs. It would be interesting. You're there live. You got to look at him. Is it me? Because I'm looking at pictures and your tape, but not only does he look quicker, but in the picture shared tonight, he completely looks chiseled in the face. And to me, that means somebody's working their ass off to be ready for camp and the season.
Yeah, he absolutely looks trimmer. There's no question about it. I mean, you can, you know, like I said, you know, people say, oh, he'll never catch passes. That's what they said. And so now this year he's catching passes. It's like, oh, the people narrative. Are allowed to change. Amazing. You know, it's like, so, and he's gotten thinner. You know, you can see it. It's certainly there. And that's why you're seeing maybe, you know, him being able to make those, you know, tougher catches, the one, the little drop off over the defensive end. He kind of stuck his arm out. And, you know, last year that's probably a catch he might not make. But, yeah, he absolutely looks trimmer than he did last year. There's no question about that.
All right, guys. The last player I want to talk about is one that's on everyone's mind. So last year at training camp, we had a giraffe on the field. And this year, we've got an elephant in the room. What is going on with Roquan Smith? I'm glad Aldo's loving my jokes tonight. So... Nick
Someone
Barwell
was playing
at Nick
reggae
Barwell.
Music. Yes. Things are going on. I'm trying to hear.
This is probably the most epic show we have not tried to pull together, but are going to. So Nick Barwell at Nick Barwell tweeted out, he wonders if Sonny Michel's contract signing will have any bearing on Roquan Smith.
It's all about setting notches for the next future draft picks you sign. So no agent wants to get burned in a guaranteed contract battle to represent a player picked at a certain spot slotted. So the face-off is on the guaranteed money, and that is the issue, in my opinion, in this situation. You're seeing a fight, a stare down, and it's unfortunate because you would think a rookie coach wants to get that rookie quarterback of the defense in on time and have this energy of a new staff. And I completely understand the fans' frustration. I think it's going to get done. I really thought it might have got done today because of the McGlinchey signing. You're next in line, so you piggyback off that contract. It's sent into the league, so you can see the language these agents can communicate. So I think this is going to happen sooner rather than later. And, I mean, I don't see why it can't. I think the Bears have to give a little bit to get this done based on the timing and what they're doing. I'm not worried, but I do think it's important to have any kind of distraction, and Nagy's handled it well, just watching him in interviews. No news on that, and it keeps going. So I know it's frustrating because you want everybody there. You want your shiny new Christmas present there to play with. You don't want it out there, and you don't want to deal with that stupid. You want to deal with football questions. And unfortunately, I think the Bears need to give a little bit here, and I'll say this. Why? You got $26 million in cap space right now. You can afford it. You also have a new coach, and you need everybody going forward. So I hope the Bears are listening, and I hope the Bears give a little to get a lot. That is my thinking in this regard, because I think Roquan Smith, and we haven't even gotten to talk about Danny Trevathan, BG and his injury concern and all that. This football player is an important piece to the puzzle. Yes, he's a rookie, but I think most people understand how talented he is. And I just don't think, as Greg talked about, wow, and turning his head about Anthony Miller, I think once Roquan gets in there, there's going to be a lot of wows by Greg, because this kid is going to be something special in this philosophy of defense and what Fangio has to do with his middle backers. So I think it's going to get done. I'll worry if he's not here, admittedly, next week. So
Absolutely. It seems like it probably should get done. It makes no sense that it would take any longer than the off day coming up to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, a guy, Yurko, was at training camp today doing their show, and he has a family member that works for the Georgia Bulldogs. So he actually was saying that he knew Roquan and saying that it was close and it was going to get done. And, you know, he's like, it's not even a big deal. You know, they're here a week early. So I completely agree. A week from now is when to panic after the hall. We get to the Hall of Fame game and this still isn't done. It's like, yeah, I mean, because, you know, people are like, oh, you know, what linebackers are standing out? Yeah, Roquan Smith is going to stand out. You know,
right.
You know, that's what you're waiting for is somebody like that, or Danny Trevathan. When he's out there, you hear him. You hear when his pads hit another person's pads. You know, you're definitely looking forward to that as a Bears fan. You know, for him to get out there, but you know, to panic after the third day when they're trying to slot these guys in and all that offsetting stuff. It's just, you know, that just works itself out, you know.
Trey Busy in the chat room is reminding everyone that Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and he thinks Denzel Ward aren't signed either yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about getting these guys slotted in and, you know, and it's a trickle down effect after that. So it's, you know, I'd imagine that's what's going to happen here. If it goes past that, then, yeah, everybody can start getting worried.
I will say this. You don't want a Nick Bosa situation. That kind of dragging on into the season. It's completely different positions and what they're going to be asked to do. So that's why I'm saying, based on all of this, I think Greg's onto something in regards to the off day. Getting something done there. But again, if it drags on, I don't care if Sam Darnold and these quarterbacks aren't in. You're a defensive player. You're picked 8th overall. You're slotted. If the Bears are giving a little to get you in, you need to conform and sign the deal and get yourself together to know that you need these reps because of the importance that you play really a vital position in the Bears defense. And with Danny Trevathan, I agree with you totally. Guy could not believe the guy was on the field in camp last season based on the injury he had. And he played a whale of a season at that as well, better than I thought I believe he ever played in watching him. So to not have him out there and see Kwiatkowski and Timu and these other guys, I'm excited about two him in games, but I'm just saying Danny is another animal and you got to get him back. I'm curious. I'm concerned about his injury. I don't know why he's been out as much.
Yeah, it makes
no sense.
Where did
this injury come from? No one knew about it. So,
I mean, how do you get a hamstring injury before you even show up to camp? He was practicing before in the OTAs and all that stuff. So I was like, you know, it was surprising to hear that when it came in. You know, you always feel like they take precautions with the veterans and stuff, and you try to chalk it up to that so you can feel better about it. But it, you know, and then hasn't practiced. Like, that's what I'm more concerned about. Like, come on, let's get Danny out there. You know, but you know,
I wonder if any of the reporters asked Nagy. I'm totally blind to this. Like, they could have. You know, where did Danny? You know, are you concerned about Trevathan? And where did he get this injury? And
yeah,
if he answered it or not, I would be curious because he seems to be a very forthcoming in information in regards to truth. So it would be interesting. Did he get hurt on a vacation? Did he get hurt stepping on the dog, falling down the stairs? I forget the Bronco that came in. But
Trey Busy is speculating that Fangio is probably just resting him because training camp is longer and he will be ready to go.
There you go, Trey. Appreciate you.
I got some breaking news. I'm going to steal my role out of 100 proof. Sorsegg is in the house, and he says, according to his inside sources, Roquan Smith will be signed sometime before the season starts, folks.
Is that a gut feeling?
Quite possibly. All right. Gentlemen and listeners, we are back on Wednesday with a brand new 100 proof. And while you are waiting for that epic episode, head over to bearsbarroom.com, where you can read two articles by Kevin Schroeder focusing on stories at a camp on the Bears' offense and defense, and a new joint article on Trubisky from Bearlissimo and the Tooch will be posted as well. I'm going to give Phil the chance to go first for his final thought, so Greg can actually have the final thought. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, I just want to thank Greg, my final thought, for, you know, giving the Bear fan the opportunity. I think it's instrumental. I noticed on my timeline several people that I really enjoy interacting with on Twitter shouting him out, that are all barflies, that all found you through retweets from me or Bears Barroom or the barflies themselves. Because let's face it, Greg, you haven't had this, you know, medicine, if you will, called Bears Barroom, that are doing what you are doing and loving the Bears and the information as much. And I saw it on my timeline. I got to follow this guy today. I got to put my notifications on. I saw many of them saying how they were following you now. They're so grateful to you. And believe me, I'm the same way. And I feel like you give the fan that, and this is a ball drop by the Chicago Bears, because if you're going to open practice to a public, and you're small-minded enough to think worldwide, people in Scotland and England, some of the most passionate followers I have for this team, aren't going to want to be able to have a glimpse of their team. To me, you're doing it wrong. Greg's doing it right. As a guy bringing it in with his Samsung Note, for God's sake, giving you an opportunity to recognize what's going on, what's different, this highlight. And let's face it, not only fans, not only barflies, but media members are using Greg's videos to accompany, if they can, or they're going to take them down, their points. And to me, I thank you. I know my followers, because I retweet and I comment, and I'm leery about that, because sometimes I do something and someone takes it and they do it. It's like they took my voice, they took everything and made it their own. So I've been very cautious doing this, you know, coaching up what's going on the video. Only reason why was because of the false narrative that I was seeing being doled out to the media. So if I ever offend you, you can DM me or whatever, but I just think it's important to recognize these players and you, sir, for really helping Bears Barroom, their analysts, achieve some sort of opinions that are going on. You know, you have a writer pretending to be in the fucking audience, pardon my language, tweeting out things when ultimately your videos are the rational reason anyone's seeing it. So I'm not going to pretend that. I'm just going to take what you're giving me and distribute it peacefully and thoughtfully to my loyal followers and the loyal listeners of Bears Barroom. So that I give shout outs, Greg, every show. This one is strictly for you. I said my thanks in the beginning. I so am happy to have you on the show tonight. You brought an energy, a vibe that I'm cool with. I'm following you. We're talking. I appreciate the work that you're putting in. It really helps me, because as a fan alone, it helps me. But as an analyst who takes pride in it, you're giving me the remedy to the thing that I'm craving the most, and that's what's going on with the Bears. So thank you so much. I said all of that off the top of my dome, so I'll let you lead us out. And thank you for everybody tuning in tonight to hear Greg on the show with me and BG. BG's back from the communist country. She made it. They tried to put a soccer ball in her suitcase. She refused. We lost AJ, but we gained Greg and gained a hell of a lot more. So, Greg, take us away, and thank you guys. It was a lot of fun tonight. 100 proof's going to be epic.
I really appreciate it, guys. And honestly, you know, I've always loved to share what I see. I always have felt like guilty that I have such a like fun sports life, as people always look at it with me. And I just enjoy sharing stuff. And when I go to training camp, it's no different. And to put it out there and see the feedback and everyone saying the nice words from all over the world, and people saying how they're watching the jokes about, oh, I got to stop talking to my boss, notifications. Like, it's very humbling, because, you know, I've always appreciated this content. I would show my friends and they'd be like, yeah, because they're not crazy like me. And it's nicer to find some people that appreciate it. And so many people out there that don't get to go. I live 30 minutes down the road, and you know, to be able to put all that out there, and you know, to go back on, you know, not stepping on toes. I'm a Bears fan, so it makes me nervous to do this stuff. I mean, I like doing the big plays, and now it's turned into this just because, you know, all of a sudden now I decided to do more plays every year. It's more plays, and I've gotten better and better with the camera, and now I'm able to do, I know everything that's going on at camp. I know the steps. And so I've been sharing it, and I do get worried I'm going to get yelled at, I guess. But it hasn't come, and it's not like I hide from anybody. So, you know, I take pictures with all the team, talk to them. I mean, the social media guys for the Bears, I talk to them all the time, the group. And, you know, I'm not.
Just don't wear a hat with the media. Don't wear a Bears hat with the media. Don't wear your 25 jersey. I know it's not a Garrett Wolf jersey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He ruined that number. I really need a 25 to, like, show out here in the next coming years so I can stop hearing that when I'm at a tailgate. So I don't wear it all the time, but man, when he got it was like, oh, thanks, Garrett. I really appreciate that. But you know, it's a gift from the wife. But yeah, I just love to share it. And I'm happy that you guys get to see this stuff, truly. And
well, we've missed you, Greg, because Bears Barroom is right up your alley.
Yeah, for sure, man. Something here.
You found a family. I have a woman in Mexico crying tears of joy because you're giving her an opportunity to see her beloved Bears. And that's just one example. And if you could see it there, why can't someone who can't, like you said, live 30 minutes down the street, see it as well? It's a missed opportunity. But it's a great thing because we got you and our family now. You are a barfly. You are a part of us. We got to have you on again. You're all class.
Oh, really. I would love to do that, truly, because, you know, I ramble and rant. I mean, that's just,
I know. Shane's going to have an impersonation of you tomorrow.
It's why you two fit together like two peas in a pod.
So, I mean, I definitely would love to tell you guys about a whole lot more stuff that, you know, it just, you never know where I'm going to go with things. I mean, it's just, there's a lot going on upstairs with me. So it's just, I'm just a passionate Chicago sports fan. I always have been. I just bleed it through and through. And, you know, I just can't wait for this season to get started. And I hear you guys are coming to camp. I'd love to meet you guys and show you the ropes. Yeah,
you got to teach them the ropes. I mean, the scouting report has to be drawn up.
I know a listener did ask, like, kind of some of the things to do. And, you know, I do got to say, people show up way early. You don't have to do that. You can come there 30 minutes after the gates open, and practice doesn't get going until 8:15. And you can always get a spot in the bleachers. People don't go to the bleachers. People are trying to go to the autograph spot where people leave at the end of games. They don't even watch practice. It's sad. It's like half the people are there to, like, you know, go to the bounce houses in the front and stuff. So you can get the spot you want. And then, you know, if anybody's looking for autographs or pictures with the players, you know, they're readily accessible after practice. You're trying to meet Mitch. He signed for an hour and a half after practice ended today. He's the last player off the field. I mean, he's as nice as can be, treats everybody with respect. So I know a few people wanted to hear some of the tips on coming. I know you guys are coming, and you know, I always try to share a good time. I want people to enjoy what I enjoy. And so I definitely wanted to get some of those tips out there.
Well, I'm sure Godfather is going to make sure he meets up with you, and definitely is going to, there's got to be some sort of maker's mark involved in this meeting.
So Aldo and I are looking forward to seeing you on August 4th. I will be in town August 3rd through 6th and at camp on the 4th and 5th for Blue and Orange Weekend. Thank you, Greg, for joining us. Thank you for answering my DM almost immediately when I asked you to be on the show. I think it was yesterday that we reached out to you, and for making this happen tonight. Most of our listeners know where to find you because they've been following you. But in the event that we catch a new listener on the podcast tomorrow, what is your Twitter handle?
But you can find me at G-Braggs Jr., and you guys are more than welcome to have me on anytime. If you want at the end of camp to get another one, I'd be more than happy to. This has been a great thrill. It's nice to see some people that share the same passion I do. So, I just want to say thanks again, and it's been an honor. You know, honestly, you guys are fun to be with.
Great. Well, thank you to our barflies. There are still over 30 of you in our chat room, keeping it alive tonight. We love interacting with you each and every show, and this is what some of you had to say. Trey Busy says, if you followed Bears Barroom throughout the draft process, there is no way in hell you are surprised by Anthony Miller's play. John Santucci says, I hope Miller's best games come against the Packers. Just sick of their receivers scoring on us. Michael G was in the house tonight, and he says, Anthony Miller is like an Odell Beckham Antonio Brown hybrid. I am not even exaggerating. Bilbo Baggins says, the only thing that worries me is this pass rush at linebacker. Bears putting a load of stock in Irving and Acho. Ryan D'Onofrio was in the house, and he said, if Acho is starting next to Floyd, I'm going to be scared. And we also had Crank Fan, your loyal lover, Phil. He says it takes his wife less time to get ready than Phil to get to the point with that sweet voice. And we had a special breaking news.
Starting to figure out who Crank Fan is now. Before she breaks these news, let me say.
He's also using inappropriate emojis in the chat room that I can't share on this family show. So definitely a fan of yours.
Greg, if you see this car, this sedan driving up, and it's all beat up because it's been in a lot of accidents and stuff, I need you to take the little guy out and like show him how to focus his camera, get the right angles, and coach him up. Little Nicky. That'll be his name. We call him Nicky Pockets.
So you got it.
Teach him some technique out there.
Oh, absolutely. The
So Trey Busy is letting us know that the roster cuts will be over by the time this show is over. And Bears Bar Room is letting everyone know that we now have Bears 2 Hour Live. There and you guys apparently are going to have a show all on your own. Don't need me. It's going to be Bears all day. So you guys have a great time with that one. Thank you all. This wraps up. I'm telling you, it's 11:45 Eastern, 10:45 Central. It is wrapping up this edition of Bears Hour Live. We'll see you all next week. Bye.
Ciao.
Arrivederci.
Later.
West Indiana.
Yeah, region.
Shout out.